In this bulletin, Norway raises its terrorism threat after a deadly shooting in the capital, Oslo. Pro-abortion campaigners take part in rallies in the United States. And Novak Djokovic says being banned from the U.S. serves as extra motivation for success at Wimbledon. With the latest SBS News, I'm Assam Al-Ghad. Norway's prime minister says the deadly nightclub shooting in Oslo is being investigated as an act of terror. Police have charged a 42-year-old Norwegian national with murder, attempted murder, and terrorist acts. The man, who's originally from Iran, had been questioned by police in May and deemed not to be a threat. He had been regarded by the authorities as a suspected radicalized Islamist since 2015 and had a history of mental illness. Two people died and 21 were wounded in the shooting that targeted a gay bar just ahead of Oslo's Pride Parade. That event was cancelled on the advice of police. Prime Minister Jonas Gahr Støre says the LGBTIQ plus community had been looking forward to Pride.
We had expected a lively and enthusiastic parade through our streets of people celebrating Pride after 3 years of pandemics and other standstills. Instead, we have a dark day where terror struck Oslo this night. Everything indicates that this has been an attack by extreme Islamists. This is under investigation, and I cannot draw conclusions from that investigations, but we have two people killed, 21 people injured, and a lot of people afraid.
People have left cards, flowers, and rainbow flags outside the site of the shooting. This man says he could have easily been caught up in the violence.
I was there last night, and thankfully I went to Elsker right before it happened. So we were there, and we got lucky.
I think it's quite sad. Like, I didn't expect this to happen in these days.
Pro-abortion campaigners are protesting in the United States a day after the Supreme Court ended the constitutional right to an abortion. Video posted on social media shows police shooting tear gas canisters at protesters outside Arizona's state capital in Phoenix. And crowds have gathered outside the Supreme Court building in Washington, D.C., and dozens of pro-choice rallies are planned around the country. Some states are promising to help women get abortions, while about half of the 50 states are likely to introduce new restrictions. Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky says his country will regain control of all the cities taken by Russia, including Severodonetsk. Ukrainian forces have fled the city, which is in ruins after several weeks of fighting. Russia's capture of the city means it now controls nearly all of Luhansk region and much of neighboring Donetsk, the two regions that formed the Donbass. It's Ukraine's biggest setback since the fall of Mariupol. President Zelensky says no number of missiles will break the spirit of Ukrainians.
Ще не просто руйнація нашої інфраструктури, це також і дуже цинічний прорахований тиск.
It's not just the destruction of our infrastructure, it's also a very cynical, calculated pressure on the emotions of our people. But we will not be under pressure, we will apply pressure. No Russian missiles, no strikes can break the spirit of Ukrainians. And each of their missiles is an argument in negotiations with our partners.
Iran and the European Union have confirmed the resumption of nuclear talks that have been stalled for months. The EU's Josep Borrell made the announcement after meeting Iran's top diplomat in Tehran. His visit is an attempt to salvage a 2015 nuclear accord between Iran and world powers. Mr. Borrell says Russia no longer objects to any deal. He says he doesn't think the war in Ukraine is making things more difficult.
But it's making things more necessary. The world today is much more insecure. This war is going to jeopardize a lot of things. It's creating price crisis on energy and food. In many countries, mainly in Africa, this will create social unrest. So the more supply of oil, the better.
The Commonwealth Heads of Government meeting in Rwanda has come to a close, with member nations urged to do more to combat climate change. The African nations of Gabon and Togo have been admitted into the Commonwealth Group of Nations. Commonwealth Secretary General Baroness Patricia Scotland says climate change is a major priority.
We know that we are at code red when it comes to climate change, and that the small member states are facing a crisis which could be existential.
Prime Minister Anthony Albanese is traveling to Spain for a meeting of NATO leaders. Australia isn't a member of NATO, but Mr. Albanese has been invited to the forum in Madrid as a partner because of Australia's support for Ukraine. Mr. Albanese will then head to France for talks with President Emmanuel Macron. And now to sport. Novak Djokovic says being banned from the United States because he's not vaccinated against COVID-19 serves as extra motivation for success at Wimbledon. The 35-year-old Serbian missed the Australian Open after being deported and won't be allowed to compete at the US Open because of his vaccination status. He'll be out to claim his fourth successive Wimbledon title. And Djokovic says he can understand the frustration of the Ukrainian people towards Russia, but doesn't think bans on Belarusian players are fair.
As a child of a war, several wars actually during '90s, I know what it feels like, you know, being in the position. So, but at the other hand, I can't say I fully agree to ban Russian tennis players, Belarusian tennis players, from competing indefinitely. I just don't see, how they have contributed to anything that is really happening. I mean, it's just, I don't feel it's fair.
With the latest SBS News, I'm Assam Al-Ghalib.